Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this.
Leaving the country on business takes a lot of planning. Bringing your data plan doesn't. With T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan, you'll get unlimited data in over 100 countries automatically. There's no changing plans and no extra charges. Just get off the plane and go. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
By 2025, it's estimated that half the world's population will lack access to safe drinking water. A sorry state of affairs as two-thirds of our planet is covered by water. We are helping develop solutions for salt water to satisfy the thirst of future generations. BASF, the chemical company.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning. America's First News with Gordon Deal.
Another loss for the White House. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Gina Cervetti, it is Friday, June 27th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Supreme Court has ruled that President Obama went too far in making recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board. It's his 13th unanimous loss in 2 years.
The Obama administration wants to train and arm Syrian rebels at a cost of $500 million. Here are the hurdles the plan faces.
The U.S. soccer team has advanced to the round of 16 at the World Cup, despite losing to Germany. Next up for the Americans, Belgium on Tuesday.
And the release of new documents is raising more questions about the General Motors delayed recall involving an ignition switch.
On one degree, you have GM going through and finding issues and bringing them to light. However, there are other recalls that GM has been undertaking that are much more crucial safety issues that they are now correcting. So what you see is GM kind of leading the way here and others following.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Bennett joins us from Detroit to explain what's in the newest documents from a congressional panel. The Supreme Court has ruled that President Obama exceeded his authority in appointing three National Labor Relations Board members during a brief Senate break in 2012, saying presidents may only exercise their appointment powers during recesses of 10 or more days. Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braben says the decision provides a narrow win for employers who contested the validity of labor board rulings made by the recess appointees. He's with us on the T-Mobile hotline. Jess, explain the rulings.
The court split over how far to rein in the recess appointment power. The majority opinion by Justice Stephen Breyer said that a recess of the Senate is defined as a period that is 10 days or longer when the Senate is not able to transact business. There was only a 3-day break when Mr. Obama made his appointments, and therefore those didn't qualify. And Justice Breyer's opinion also said that, in general, it is up to the Senate to say when it is and is not in session. And that leaves open the ability of the Senate to structure its breaks in a way that it formally retains the power to take action and transact business, and therefore could still blunt the president's power to make appointments when, as a practical matter, the senators are out of town or visiting their constituents or on vacation or what have you. That was the majority opinion.
What was the minority opinion?
The minority agreed that those specific appointments by President Obama to the National Labor Relations Board were unconstitutional, but they said that a far stricter constraint should be imposed on the recess appointment power of the president. The way they read the constitutional text, the U.S. government effectively had been misapplying the recess appointment clause for nearly two centuries. Under the minority's view, which was also the view of a lower federal court, the recess appointment power applies only during very limited periods between formal sessions of Congress. And generally, each Congress lasts 2 years, you know, between elections. And that 2-year period is generally divided into two 1-year sessions. And the recess, as the minority understood it, only is that period between those two formal sessions. And only vacancies that arise during that period can be filled during that period. So that would very, very strictly constrain this power, and that is what the minority said should happen.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven at the Supreme Court. What do you think will be the impact of this decision, Jess?
Practical impact for the moment is minimal because the Democrats control the Senate. President Obama is himself a Democrat, and under recent rule changes, Republicans who are a minority cannot block confirmation votes on presidential nominees through a filibuster. So for the moment, there won't be much practical impact by this decision. There may be a change, however, come November, should the Republicans win control of the Senate. Then you'll have a majority in the Senate of a different party than the president. And that is a sort of situation when a president tends to look more often towards making recess appointments. His window in doing so may be more limited as a result of Thursday's Supreme Court decision.
There were decisions made by the National Labor Relations Board with members that were improperly seated. So what happens to those decisions?
What happens to those decisions is unclear. It's unclear whether the board, which currently has properly confirmed appointees on it, can simply ratify those decisions retroactively, whether all those decisions are automatically invalid and have to be reconsidered, whether only decisions that a particular party chooses to seek reconsideration of have to be looked at again. We don't know that yet.
Thanks, Jess. Wall Street Journal reporter Jess Braven at the Supreme Court. In an editorial today, by the way, the Journal says even liberal justices are alarmed that President Obama's executive lawmaking is visiting real damage on the Constitution. It says this will not be the last legal torpedo aimed at the hull of his increasingly willful presidency. The U.S. is elevating its role in the Middle East. The White House yesterday requested $500 million to train and arm moderate Syrian rebels. Aiding the Syrian opposition reflects growing U.S. alarm at the expanding strength of Islamist forces in Syria, who in recent weeks have asserted control of large parts of neighboring Iraq and now pose threats to U.S. allies in the region. More from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Jeff Bellinger.
The proposal amounts to a major U-turn by the administration, which had sought until now to limit its involvement in the war. However, the expanded U.S. involvement will be on President Obama's terms by emphasizing the use of partner forces and not the direct use of American combat forces. Officials stress there are hurdles to overcome before the expanded Syrian rebel program goes into effect, including obtaining congressional approval, figuring out how to effectively vet large numbers of rebel fighters so the U.S. doesn't end up training extremists, and persuading countries in the region to host the effort. Gordon?
Thanks, Jeff. The new program, especially, and the existing CIA effort would focus on training opposition forces to fight both the regime of President Bashar al-Assad in Syria and al-Qaeda-inspired groups. 13 minutes now after the hour on The Wall Street Journal This Morning. Remember, you can follow The Wall Street Journal This Morning on Twitter, Facebook, and now TuneIn. Join the tens of thousands already following us on the new TuneIn app and also TuneIn.com.
When I was pregnant, I got more advice than I knew what to do with. What I needed was information I could trust on how to take care of me and my baby. Luckily, United Healthcare has a simple program that helps moms stay on track with their doctors and get the right care and guidance before and after the baby is born. Simple is good right now.
Innovations that work for you. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning. Let's get some analysis of these Supreme Court rulings from yesterday. One we just covered, which was the High Court shooting down President Obama's appointments to the NLRB. The other, which we explained last hour, was the Supreme Court invalidating the state law in Massachusetts on buffer zones at abortion clinics. Attorney Adam Thompson is with us live this morning from New York City. Adam, talk about the NLRB decision by the High Court.
Sure. Good morning. Well, this is a big victory for First Amendment freedom of speech advocates out there. This really has nothing to do with the issue of abortion itself, whether it should be legalized or not, but whether you have a right to free speech regarding it and how close you can get to a clinic, for example, to express that thought. The Supreme Court was unanimous in this decision. You know, Massachusetts had a state law that barred protesters from getting within a certain range of a clinic to air their opinion. And what this decision did was say, hey, listen, requiring protesters to stay 35 feet away or more away from the entrances of the walkways is unconstitutional. You know, the whole idea of freedom of speech is to be able to express your thoughts to other people. And, you know, we all hear that thing, stand on the platform and say what you want in open forums and in the public and everything. You see those old pictures all the time. And this basically supports that, saying that people that believe that they have a problem with abortions could now stand closer to the clinics and express their views. Again, this doesn't mean that there can be violence, that they could throw things.
Right.
You know, the whole issue before was protecting people because they didn't want harassment.
All right, so how close can they be now? Is there any kind of buffer that's been established?
Well, it's basically this point limited to sidewalk areas and everything else. It's still a little ambiguous whether there's going to be like a buffer zone set up, but clearly what Massachusetts had been practicing 35 feet away has been declared unconstitutional. So it's basically going to be back to sidewalks and entrance area locations. But again, how close does it mean? 2 feet, 5 feet? It's unclear to that amount of specificity.
We're speaking with attorney Adam Thompson live this morning from New York City. How about these recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board?
Yeah, I mean, basically, two things. They told Obama that what you did was improper. You overstepped your boundaries by putting in recess appointments when people are only out for three-day sessions. You know, the presidents have always appointed people during recess time periods. You know, Bill Clinton and Bush each made over 100 appointments. You know, Reagan did two to 300. So it's very commonplace that these things happen. But what the court said now is, listen, we know that you make appointments, you just can't do it when it's such a short amount of time.
Right. Where
Obama
did
it in 3 days.
Now where did the 10 days come from, Adam? Where did the 10 days come from?
They just pulled a number out of a hat.
Can they do that?
The Supreme Court could do what they want when they're setting evaluations on cases. So that's going to be the new standard. So now moving forward, this will be the new fight between the Senate and the president of when they go on a break, how long it'll be. If it's any time longer than 10 days, now the president will jump in and appoint someone. So now they're going to play games with how long breaks will be. It's going to be a new issue down the line.
Right. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Attorney Adam Thompson with us live this morning from New York. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's First News.
Good morning. Well, as you've been hearing here just now, the Supreme Court struck down a Massachusetts law requiring buffer zones around abortion clinics, citing a burden on the free speech of protesters. Let's hear some reaction now on this case.
Babies will be saved. Our First Amendment rights have been spared.
Kristen Hawkins is with Students for Life of America. Eric Ferrero is with Planned Parenthood.
We're looking at all of our options, but this is a very troubling ruling that will make it harder to protect patients who are getting health care.
And the High Court, in a separate case, said that President Barack Obama exceeded his authority in making temporary appointments to the National Labor Relations Board. Federal judge has upheld Colorado laws mandating background checks for gun purchases and limiting the size of ammo magazines, rejecting arguments from gun rights activists and some sheriffs who said the laws violated the Second Amendment. Howard Baker has died. The three-term Republican senator also served as White House chief of staff to President Reagan and as U.S. ambassador to Japan. Baker reportedly died at his home in Tennessee from stroke complications. He was 88. General Motors is now recalling almost 30,000 Chevy Cruzes because airbags are at risk of exploding. This covers late models of GM's bestseller after first telling dealers to stop selling the Cruze temporarily. Well, the German government says it will end its contract with Verizon over concerns about network security. The move highlights ongoing issues for U.S. tech companies operating abroad after those disclosures about U.S. spying. That World Cup biting incident just cost Uruguay's Luis Suarez the rest of the tournament, as FIFA actually suspended him for 4 months. And Adidas, which has a deal with him, plans to take down ads showing him, coincidentally, baring his teeth. And the game of the day, the German soccer team beat the U.S., but because of play elsewhere in the tournament, the U.S. does advance to the group of 16 to play Belgium. And the score yesterday was Germany 1, the U.S. 0. Now, Gordon, I'm not an aficionado like our esteemed host here.
Yeah, well, you
like
use,
you are. However,
it starts by using words like nil.
Okay.
I thought that was
so. I'm doing okay so far, but now I did watch the game. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but it looked like a good game. I mean, did you think that the Germans would actually blow out the U.S. team?
I did. I thought they were going to put three on the board against us. And in the first 10 minutes of the game, they almost did.
But so I thought it was a good game, right?
You know, we survived the first 10 minutes, and then I thought, that's as well as the U.S. is going to play against an outrageously good team like Germany.
All right.
We're not
going to
beat that team.
You had their number then at some point, I guess.
Yeah, we played well enough. That's what that was. We survived the Germans. 23 minutes after the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours. Which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Traveling overseas for business comes with a checklist of things to worry about. But with T-Mobile, you can take getting international data off that list. Because with the Simple Choice for Business plan, unlimited data in over 100 countries is automatically included at no extra charge. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
As one person posted yesterday, the U.S. wins 0-1 in defeat. The U.S. soccer team was actually victorious. Despite losing 1-0 to Germany yesterday, the U.S. soccer team advanced to the round of 16 at the World Cup because their goal differential was better than Portugal's, which finished with the same 1-1-1 record as the U.S. In three games, the U.S. scored three goals and gave up three for a differential of 0. This is how they do it in the World Cup. Portugal, in its three games, though, gave up seven goals and scored just four, a difference of minus three. U.S. coach Jurgen Klinsmann on advancing to the knockout round.
There's a very clear picture in front of you. You got to win the game, no matter how. So you got to win it in extra time. You got to win it in penalty shootouts. So this is now you prepare for one game at a time.
U.S. versus Belgium on Tuesday. U.S. has never beaten a European team at the World Cup in the modern era. Analysis of the game from Wall Street Journal sports editor Jeff Foster. Jeff, it was just good enough.
I think it's strange for Americans to wrap their head around the concept that we lost, but it was still a good thing. But it comes down to goal differential. Portugal beat Ghana, which was one of the things we needed to happen, and it happened. So Cristiano Ronaldo for Portugal saved us by scoring against Ghana in the final 10 minutes there.
I guess it is odd for some folks to understand kind of the scoring process, but it is designed to encourage teams to score, right? So goal differential is what separated the USA from Portugal, even though they both had a win, a loss, and a draw.
Right. And it really came down to, sort of ironically, Germany beating Portugal 4-0 in that first match is what put Portugal so far behind in goal differential. So really, again, we have to thank the Germans for not beating us too badly and beating the Portuguese pretty badly when they met.
All in all, I thought this was a decent performance for the U.S. I'm not sure it gets any better than that against a team that arguably in Germany is the best in the world.
I mean, this German team is terrific. And, you know, under a different circumstance, and Germany knew that it only needed a tie. So they're going to play a certain way based off that. But this German team, I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe Tim Howard as a backup, our goalie. I'm not sure any of our players even make that team. Actually, I can safely say none of them make that team. I mean, they have guys on their bench who are starters for teams like Chelsea and Arsenal. So they are just loaded.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal sports editor Jeff Foster. He's also host of the Sports Retort podcast, and we're talking about the USA's performance against Germany in the World Cup. Well, all this travel the U.S. has done, one day less rest than the Germans, right? Leaving the jungle to have to come play in a totally different environment after getting drained. All in all, that's pretty good. Now with 4 days rest before the knockout stage game, what do you think?
That's going to help.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to help.
Love the 4 days rest for sure. Wall Street Journal sports editor Jeff Foster. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
A smartphone is a pretty harmless device, unless you take one outside the U.S. without T-Mobile. Binging quietly on emails and GPS coordinates, it might run your data tab into the thousands. Smart business travelers choose T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan with unlimited global data in over 100 countries at no extra charge.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
It's time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. Time to see what's captured our fancy on Google lately. Here's Google Trends expert Zaina Aston is with us live this morning. Zaina, explain, I guess, some of these subjects. Let's start with Diane Sawyer, now out as anchor of World News.
Yes, Diane Sawyer was trending as she's stepping down as the evening news anchor of the World News on ABC. It has been announced that she would be succeeded by David Muir.
Right.
And she'll still continue as an anchor for major interviews and investigative reports, but as part of the nightly news anchor position, she will no longer be featured there. Which is interesting from my standpoint as well, because that means that there will no longer be a female doing the nightly news spot.
Right. That was a five-year run she had there. Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, making news also. I guess it's this Seth Rogen film that he's not happy with, right?
Exactly. The new film from Seth Rogen and James Franco, in which the pair play assassins plotting to kill the North Korean president, has angered Kim Jong-un. And he's actually, the government of North Korea has called the film an act of war and promised retaliation. The film itself comes out at the end of October, but it is trending as people are trying to figure out whether or not this is a marketing stunt or if this is real, but lots of search activity going on there.
We're speaking with Google Trends expert Zaina Aston, who's with us live this morning about what's trending on Google. How about this guy, Jeremy Meeks? What is this all about?
So this is, Jeremy Meeks is a very photogenic convict. His mugshot went viral as the Stockton Police Department posted it on their Facebook page. It's been shared widely. It has over 100,000 likes on Facebook and has spawned a meme called Felon Crush Friday, where this picture kept getting shared around and around, and people have been photoshopping it, putting him on the adverts for Dolce & Gabbana and high-end ads, but he's a very good-looking man.
It's unbelievable that he's getting this much attention. This is a guy that the police call a street terrorist, right? He's one of the most dangerous guys in Stockton, apparently, and people are celebrating him.
Yes, he's apparently served quite a bit of time before for things like Grand Theft Auto and larceny, but he's been arrested this time around for weapons charges, and people... I think he himself and his mother has reached out saying that they're not too pleased with all the attention because, they're worried that it'll actually affect his trial.
Right. And the geniuses at Inside Edition think that a jail side interview is a good idea. Short hairstyles. Why is that trending?
Yes. Well, summer is in full swing and searches for short hairstyles are on the rise as people think about lightening up their look for the hot weather. It's always interesting to look at the searches around something like this because you can see, sub-searches and how people are exactly searching for short hairstyles. And it looks like people are looking for ways to style short hair as well, for new haircut styles. Also looking at how to cut their own hair, which I found quite interesting as, people are looking for videos on YouTube or more ideas to fix a short haircut or try it out themselves.
Are you a short-haired gal for the summer? What do you do?
I am not. I am a ponytail girl. I need to, I understand the wish for short hair, though. When the heat starts, it's definitely something that I consider.
And finish up here with Bindi Irwin. She's the daughter of the late crocodile hunter Steve Irwin. Why is she in the news?
She's been trending and has made headlines as she gave an interview urging young girls to dress their age. She's been encouraging teens, as the temperature rises, to cover up and has made a bit of a name for herself in the headlines for kind of speaking up for this situation. She herself is 15 and had released a clothing line back when she was 9 years old. So she does know a thing or two about fashion.
Right. Good for her for speaking up. Very good. Hey, Zaina, thanks so much for a few minutes as always. Zaina Aston, Google Trends expert with us live this morning. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. With AutoTrader alerts, they'll let you know when the price drops on a car you've been searching for. They'll even send you cars that match what you're looking for. Sign up for text alerts at AutoTrader.com. With AutoTrader, you never have to start your search over. You can save it and pick it back up on any device. Find your perfect car wherever and whenever you want. Visit autotrader.com today. The dirty laundry is still unfolding at General Motors. Federal prosecutors are issuing grand jury subpoenas in connection with the years-long delay in responding to a deadly defect, as new documents raise questions about the automaker's assessment of which employees were at fault. Documents released yesterday by a House panel raise questions about GM's account of the events surrounding its botched response to the defective ignition switch. The documents show that a high-ranking current GM executive knew of the issues in 2005 and cast new light on the actions of fired GM engineer Raymond DiGiorgio, who's assigned much of the blame. Mr. DiGiorgio is revealed in emails as pushing unsuccessfully for a change to the switch used in Chevrolet Cobalt and other small cars. Meanwhile, when will the recalls come to an end? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Bennett from Detroit. Jeff, what's coming out of the CEO's office?
General Motors chief executive Mary Barrow was on the Today Show Thursday morning when she said that other recalls or the recalls that the company is now conducting may not end for a bit. She had originally said that it looked like the recalls were going to be done by the end of the month, but there are new problems on the horizon. The latest is that GM has found that in 33,000 of its Chevrolet Cruze compact cars that the airbags that have been put into those cars were built with incorrect parts.
All right, so how much of this is just heightened awareness about recalls these days, and how much of it is really General Motors having some serious problems?
I think it's really a combination of the two. I think on one degree, you have GM going through and finding issues and bringing them to light. However, there are other recalls that, that GM has been undertaking that are much more crucial safety issues that they are now correcting. So what you see is GM kind of leading the way here and others following, but with mixed in with all of this, you have folks like the Takata Corporation and who makes airbags, telling people that their airbags may be faulty, which is pushing several automakers to recall a number of different cars due to that concern.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Bennett in Detroit about when will the General Motors recalls end. All right, what's up with the Chevy Cruze airbag, it being made with the wrong part?
GM found that an airbag inflator was made with an incorrect part. They've caught the situation. They found the airbag exists in about 33,000 of their Chevy Cruzes. They have not yet recalled those Cruzes. However, it's highly likely that they will have to do that in order to repair that part. So this will be yet another recall that they will have to enact. You know, as we stand now, GM has recalled more than 20 million vehicles in North America since the start of the year for a variety of different issues, ranging from ignition switches to hoses leak. So just a myriad of different things going on.
Since this avalanche, Jeff, took place roughly a month after she took office, the cynic in me might argue that she may have been set up for this.
That is a conspiracy that most think exists, that they knew this problem was out there, so they put in a female to shoulder most of the blame, to take the kind of the sting out of it. However, there just has been no information to show that the former CEO, that being Dan Akerson, or the CEO before him, Rick Wagner, knew specifically of this ignition switch problem. So I think what it comes down to is it just happened on her watch. She's got to handle it.
Thanks, Jeff. Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Bennett from Detroit. 14 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, rolling out the red carpet for the new Transformers movie.
By 2025, it's estimated that half the world's population will lack access to safe drinking water. A sorry state of affairs, as two-thirds of our planet is covered by water. We are helping develop solutions for salt water to satisfy the thirst of future generations. BASF, the chemical company.
This portion of the program is brought to you by GoToMeeting. In any business, it's important to maximize your potential, and strong communication and collaboration are key. It allows you to close deals faster, problem solve better, and create new opportunities. That's why you need Citrix GoToMeeting. It's the best, most efficient way to meet with clients and customers from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. With GoToMeeting, You can meet online as often as you like, with anyone, anywhere in the world. Share screens to review documents and presentations together in real time. And use the built-in HD video conferencing feature to see each other face-to-face to engage and connect. It's just like being in the same room, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting allows you to cut out the wasted time and expense of travel, so you can be more productive without losing that personal touch of meeting in person. Try GoToMeeting for free today to see what it can do for you. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free for 30 Days button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ.
After all we have done, humans are hunting us. But I fear we are all targets now.
To promote its new Transformers film in China, Paramount got help from a state-backed movie channel and hosted red carpet premieres in Beijing, Shanghai, and Hong Kong. The studio behind the new summer spectacular, Transformers: Age of Extinction, which opens today in China and the U.S., pulled out all the stops to appeal to audiences in China, the world's second-largest movie market.
They recoup a budget that can be north of $210 million. So it's really important that they appeal on a global basis, not just to a U.S. audience anymore.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel says there's a limited amount of spots for Western films to be released in China, and getting those spots is not easy.
China only allows 34 Western films to be released in the country every year. And to be among those 34, you do have to get past a state censor program.
Four of the movie's actors were cast through a Chinese reality show watched by millions. Crews spent weeks filming in Beijing, and fan sightings of movie stars lighted up Weibo, China's top social network. It's 8 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti's back with America's First News.
Good morning. A convicted murderer and five other death row inmates are suing Arizona, arguing the state's secrecy around lethal injection drugs violates their constitutional rights. The suit was filed the day after 21 death row inmates reportedly sued officials in Oklahoma, alleging violation of constitutional protections against cruel and unusual punishment. Today we get an update on consumer sentiment. In the meantime, U.S. stock futures a little bit negative following a negative close. The Dow is down about 21 points.
The day started rocky, really mostly on the consumption and income news, feeling like, again, maybe there's some slowdown to this economy.
Liz Miller is with Summit Place Financial. Incomes outpaced spending, but Wells Fargo's Sarah Watt House says that report wasn't great.
If you look at the hourly average wages, that still continues to run rather low, just a little over 2% on a year ago basis.
If you use Foursquare, then you might have to start paying a fee. The startup says it will begin charging some businesses to access its database of retailers, restaurants, and other local venues as it looks to make more money from information gathered when we check in at various places. Should boa constrictors, certain pythons, and three species of anacondas be added to an existing federal snake ban? You can weigh in as fish and wildlife officials seek more public comment on the proposal. Reptile enthusiasts have sued to overturn the ban. A surge in cancer cases in Beijing has people on Chinese social media blaming severe pollution. Local government stats there show around 40,000 new cases of cancer in the capital in 2012, almost double in 10 years. Well, if you were planning to purchase your so-called World Cup heartbreak insurance, it's too late. A move by China's insurance regulators to ban certain kinds of policies effectively shuts down plans by a Chinese insurer to sell more of its insurance that's aimed at soothing the angst of soccer players, or soccer fans, I should say, who are watching their players losing at the World Cup.
Very good. Thank you, Gina. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
How easy is getting unlimited data outside the U.S. with T-Mobile? Just one step. Turn on your phone. Because with T-Mobile, unlimited global data in over 100 countries is automatically included in your plan at no extra charge. Sounds simple? It is simple. It's the Simple Choice for Business plan, only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Here's an example of how the other half lives. UPI has the story of a foodie with World Cup tickets who paid more than $7,000 to make sure that he would have food from his favorite Indian restaurant in England while he was visiting Brazil for the tournament. Mustafa Azim informed Chilcha, an Indian restaurant in Sussex, England, that he wanted them to provide curry dishes for 12 of his friends during the tournament. In order to make it happen, Mr. Azim, who owns the aircraft company Imperial Air Salvage, chartered a plane so he could pick up the takeout. In addition for paying for the curry and a charter flight, Azim also paid for a flight to Brazil, landing fees, and other transportation costs. He says, hey, we're from Bangladesh, and on a regular basis, we eat curry and rice, and fish is part of our diet, and there's not a single restaurant in Brazil that does it. Now the other half lives. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.